Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert, noted author. Find his books over at your favorite book retailer, as well as also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa. Hi, Jeff. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm frightened.
Why?
Because during the commercial break, a crazy man walked up to the camera and was waving his arms, saying something. I couldn't hear what it was. I just wasn't sure what to expect.
Have you seen me dance on Fridays?
No.
Oh, dear Lord. Is she
dancing on Thursdays, no. I assume also? I mean, Friday is not the pivotal point of the sentence, is it?
Well, no, Friday is, because that's when I do the dancing. It's not like us all of a sudden it's, hey, Trump sucks, let's do a dance. I mean, it's not kind of like a weird Saturday Night Live skit. But on Fridays, when I'm done with the show, on the end of the show on Friday, I get in front of the camera and I dance. To music. I mean, not just me just doing some sort of art house German dance thing. No, there's music involved.
There is music. It's Dance Party Friday.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. And does Brett then have the singles? I'm trying to figure out how this all comes together.
Most of the time I go into the producer pit afterwards and they're all crying. So I'm not sure. I think that means it's a good. So,
yeah, go with that. It'll make you feel better for the whole weekend.
I live in Minnesota to stay away from hurricanes. You know that? I mean, because I went through one as a kid. And I'm just...
You cannot get further away.
Well, Idaho, I think Idaho is pretty safe. But no, I do not like them. Have you ever been in a hurricane zone or any kind?
No. Where were you at where you were growing up in a hurricane?
Rhode Island. Bell. Hurricane Bell hit Long Island. And of course, on the other side of Long Island is Connecticut and Rhode Island. They got smacked too. And that was a category one. This was almost a category five. I mean, this thing is going to scour a good chunk of Florida clean.
And again, when you see the most populous areas, breathe a sigh of relief, because the absolute worst case scenario did not happen. It's still going to be devastating. I have been to Sanibel Island. I have no idea what's left of it because that's right near where landfall occurred.
And it's on those barrier islands. There's nothing there. I mean, I was reading about the hurricane that hit Galveston back in 1900. And the reason it wiped it out is because it was on a barrier island. There's just nothing there to stop it. The ocean comes up and just knocks everything down. There was an interesting post, a guy was down there. He said, I knew I needed to get out of town when I went to the gym and Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel was there working out. He said, I saw a video of Cantore earlier. He's walking down the street, barely able to stand. He got smacked by a bush or something. And he's just holding onto a street sign for his life as the street sign is bending like crazy. I mean, this is just an unbelievably horrible storm. That is, as you said, it's going to cause an incredible amount of damage, not only to those Outer Bank Islands, but well into Florida, because Florida just doesn't have a lot of height to it.
No, and you've got the swamps near Orlando anyway. I was thinking someone that I knew from my hometown is now a TV meteorologist in Jacksonville.
Wow.
And I thought, it's on the other side of the state. So my first thought. And then I see the track, and of course, A, it's a narrow state. B, with the force of this storm hitting the west side, it's going to go over the top of the state. It's going to show up on the other side to smash Georgia and South Carolina on the Atlantic side. Mm-hmm. And along the way, you know, the wind is one thing, but usually in the northeast quadrant of the eye, that's where the heaviest rain is. So you may not have destruction from the wind. God bless, that's great, but you're going to have this amazing amount of rain as it slows down. It's just amazing, amazing stuff.
St. Petersburg, someone was mentioning St. Petersburg, that even on sunny days, there's water standing on the streets because it's built almost at sea level. It's built on top of marshes. And so even though they're fairly north of where the strike zone was, just the amount of rain there is going to wipe out the roads, wipe out the sewer lines, electrical. I mean, it's just, you're looking at a massive catastrophe on a state where, once again, we're not talking New York City or Los Angeles, but the population density of that state, this is going to be a massive and hopefully a limited amount of loss of life.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the problems that was mentioned in some of the run-ups to the coverage. There are so many people who have migrated, relocated to Florida, whether it's for retirement or whatever reason, they've moved to Florida, who had not ever gone through a serious, quote-unquote, serious hurricane, and certainly nothing like this. And so the temptation to say, well, I can ride it out. How bad can it be? That's a problem. And just the mere fact of not knowing what to do. When we moved to a house on a river and the first flood warning came and they said, you're going to have to sandbag, you know me. Yeah. Like, I know how to do that, right? Well, I learned pretty gosh darn quickly, I will tell you. And that's what was really odd. The next year, because it was a yearly thing, you're living on a river, right? The next year, I then was the expert helping the new neighbor, which again shows you just how thin this whole structure was. But, if you've never gone through something like this, you have no idea what it is like. And when the officials say, if you haven't left now, it's too late, that has got to make people reassess their choices, I would think.
I have zero doubt Joe Biden. I mean, when they had those storms hit Kentucky, he was the first one on one of the first ones on the ground out there trying to help out. And I have zero doubt he'll be down there as well.
Sure.
Trump, I mean, I'll never forget him tossing paper towels out to Puerto Ricans. I will never forget him. Whose boat is this boat? Remember that in North Carolina with that storm? It's kind of one of those things. We have to have a basic feeling of trust, because I think we both can agree one of the base structures of a government, whether federal, state, county, municipal, whatever, is that if at all possible, you need to be able to take care of the people during a natural disaster. And in the case of, we'll go back to Katrina when it hit New Orleans was knocked out and the state was relatively knocked out. And there was a failure there while Mississippi and Republican parts of Louisiana got all the aid. We were sending formaldehyde doused, housing units to New Orleans, and we never really even fixed that city, and it was just a crime. I really do hope we just get back to the point where, regardless of political party, if a windstorm hits Iowa, if an earthquake hits California, or if, God forbid, a near Category 5 hurricane decides to scrub a good portion of Florida clean, that we just don't care. We send the federal government, we get the people down there, and we help these people out.
One of the problems with states' rights and division of power between states and federal government is states have to often make the requests, right? States have to initiate it. The feds can proactively say, really need a call from you so we can do this so that we can help you out. But what I am glad about, and I think this will make your point, there were some people who really tried to stir up something yesterday about who Joe Biden called on the phone. And to the credit of all sides, the White House and the governor's office, and by the way, I don't think they agree on anything. You cannot pick an issue where the Florida governor's office and the White House agrees on anything. But there was the conversation last night between the president and the governor. All sides said everything is fine. We are not going to let our dispute on other issues get in the way of the safety of citizens of the state. And so I'm glad that whatever hay was trying to be made was very quickly put away, because this is no time for that.
You know, there is a lot of people out there that when a massive natural disaster happens in another part of the country, see Republicans, primarily Republicans, I don't know of any Democrat that has ever said this, but see Republicans will say, well, that's not my state. Why am I wasting my taxpayer dollars, my state's taxpayer dollars on helping those people? Who then all of a sudden, when barreled down with their own natural disaster, all of a sudden are like, why isn't everyone willing to help me? That is a really bad mentality. And I think we need to do a better job of calling those people out and reminding them, hey, we're here. I don't care if you're a Republican area or a Democratic area. If you're in Florida, you need help, get it down there. But to the people who would sit there and say, oh, they don't need help in Wisconsin, we're not going to go help them, that's not my state. When it does happen there, I think that there's almost an onus on us, whether that's the media, whether that's other politicians, of calling these people out and saying, do you think that the rest of the country shouldn't help us now? And make them basically have to explain why they politicized natural disaster relief.
I have heard, because again, we get a lot of river flooding
yes.
in Iowa. All right. And I live in an area near a river, and so we get a lot of that. I have heard people say, and it has nothing, I have no idea what their politics are. They say, why should we help McNeil out? Because he's been flooded out four times. And at some point, you got to realize that ground is always going to flood. Well, that's why we have federal buyouts. So after a couple of record floods, we're not paying the same people for what I'm going to say is risky behavior. It's an awkward way to phrase it. But they buy you out so that you're not doing that again. If you're engaging in risky behavior, sometimes stuff's going to happen. And there's a point at which you have to say, look, you've collected enough government checks. You shouldn't be living there. That should not be a residential area. But when you're talking, as you are accurately, about a storm that is going to hit an entire state, no area spared, plus adjacent states. When you're talking about a derecho that comes through the Midwest, 700 miles of it at 110-mile-an-hour winds, those are random things. Okay, it's not like, I suppose some people would say, well, you live in Florida, you have to expect this. No, you don't expect a Category 5 hurricane. You know, there's a point at which all of this should fall away. All of the partisanship should just simply fall away, because as long as we've got 50 United States, the whole, as you said to start, the role of the government is to protect citizens from external forces, namely Mother Nature or some incursion militarily. That's what the government's there to do. And nobody should really think twice about this. And the fact that they're talking about, they're still talking, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're still talking about trying to keep the government open past Friday. And they were putting in some relief for Jackson, Mississippi, because of the flooding there.
Yes.
And that was causing problems. Well, why should we give people in Jackson? Okay.
Come on.
Hold the bill open. Put a very large amount in for Florida and get the thing passed before Friday.
And I guarantee you, because Republicans do not want to lose Florida or kind of come off like that. I mean, you bring up a good point, because it's different. We had that apartment complex that collapsed in Florida. And there seemed to be some problems with the contractor, with the management, with the licensing and the inspection. That's a very different thing than this. And it's also different from when, you know, we just had this American skier who was, I think, on the eighth highest peak on the planet trying to ski down, and she died because she fell on this sort of thing. There comes a point where when you put yourself in a bathysphere at the bottom of the ocean or at one of the top of the mountains where we can't even fly helicopters up there because the air is so thin, that you are taking some level of personal responsibility to where if something bad happens, there's a decent chance no one's going to be able to save you. And that's just an unfortunate reality. But that's not just because I bought a house in Florida. That's a very different thing.
Right.
And
right.
I think it was interesting. I was just out in Colorado this last weekend, and we were out at Rocky Mountain National Park, and there was a few resorts that used to be out there that year-round, and they talked about how they expanded the park. And one of the park rangers said was, well, they basically had to send out, you know, the National Guard every time there's a snowstorm for these people because they got dropped out there. So it was under your guise. It gets to be too much of a problem. You know what? We're going to buy you out. Here's a nice check. You go out and enjoy someplace, maybe not Florida, but you go someplace else, and we're going to just hand this over to the National Park Service and prevent people from, you know, having to constantly risk their lives to come out to you. That is something that I think is an effective program, especially in repeat areas.
Well, and again, you want to go live off the grid. You want to go live in a remote area where nobody can get to you. Then that means nobody's going to get to you. Okay,
yep.
So yes. You can't just say, you know, when it's summer, I don't want anyone around, but oh my goodness, there's snow. Somebody better come and bring me supplies. Because here's the broad point. Whatever happened to responsibility? And this is what you were just alluding to. If you're going to go scale a high peak and try to ski down it in a very dangerous action, stuff may happen.
Yeah.
And you have to bear personal responsibility. And it's the same thing with some of these other situations. Now, again, simply because you live in a state does not automatically mean, well, too bad. Bad being you. No, this is a storm of potentially legendary proportion.
And there are some people that decided to stay back, and the police have said, we're not answering 911 calls because there's 10 feet of water outside right now. So, you know, if you chose that, you know, you just have, I hope you expected that as well. Let's take a break. I want to come back, talk about Trump's case with the master. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Pass me a cup of the goose and the the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us here today. So, Jeff, I have to keep track of what legal case we're talking about here. In the case where it's the him taking the classified documents and the Judge Cannon, the judge that seemed to be very pro-Trump, agreed to put a master in. That case is getting really interesting. Trump basically paid $3 million in advance for a lawyer to help him defend. And basically, it sounds like they've cut ties now. He paid him in advance and he cut ties. And there's a lot of people that are speculating because probably the lawyer, who was, by all accounts, a pretty good lawyer, looked at him and said, "You're dead to rights here. You're, you know, talk about a plea deal." And Trump didn't want to. And so it sounds like they separated out there. Clearly, when Trump suggested Judge Deary to come on in here and look at this, I think he thought he was going to get someone other than who Judge Deary has been, which is a very straightforward, very timeline sensitive and direct judge who's like, "No, I need answers. We need to get this done." With that, and it does not, once again, as well help Trump's case that the appeals court's already thrown out the ability for Trump to stop through the Judge Cannon the review of those documents for potential charges. So where do you think Trump is at? I mean, is this kind of an acceptance that this is not going well for him at this point?
Oh, he would never admit such a thing. But, you know, with regard to the lawyer, they found a lawyer well-respected in Florida,
yeah,
knows Florida law inside and out, pays a huge amount of money. And now that person has nothing to do with the documents case, but is being moved to other lawsuits and legal matters. That is code for, he said, "I cannot participate in this sham," or "I cannot willfully make statements to the court that I know to be false." But by keeping him on the payroll, he's still a lawyer, and therefore attorney-client privilege, et cetera. Okay, still prevails. But this is the... Why do you announce such a big, high-profile hire at all, first of all? I guess it's to show your supporters you're doing something, but that makes the fall even steeper. With regard to the special master, this is very much like what we would have in a case, and the Latin for it is in-camera review. So let's say that there is evidence that may be sensitive. In any case, we could ask Judge McNeil to review the information in camera. That means privately. Then Judge McNeil says, "I say this can go to a jury, this cannot go to a jury." That's what's happening here. The special master is supposed to review matters and say, "Okay, this stuff should never have been seized, so forget you had it. You can't use it against him. This stuff is okay to be seized," to go through the process. This has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. This just has to do with, here's the stuff that y'all at the FBI never should have gotten, so now you got to give it back. That's just the fundamental sorting, if mm-hmm. you will. But in order to do that, the judge has to look at everything. And for the Trump side to say publicly, "Well, we didn't expect the judge to review everything," how in the blazes can a judge determine if it's appropriately seized unless the, wait for it, judge looks at it? And it's I don't even understand it at any level.
Well, and I can see why this lawyer left or is going to a different case, is because It quite literally, you've got a case where, you know, the judge Deary, when we talked about this last week, immediately looks at all this stuff and says, "This all says top secret on it. Do you have anything that tells us when this was declassified?" And the lawyers for him can't say no. They can't say that because it hasn't been officially declassified. So they can't, they're not going to lie under oath to a judge. And so there became this shell game. And quite literally, you can see Deary is just having nothing with it. "You have to let me know." And by the sounds of it, I guess the question now is, will Trump be able to convince another judge to basically stop Deary from releasing all the information back to the FBI because, you know, he didn't really wait for us to, we wanted him to wait for our answer when we were good and ready to give it to him, and he's trying to rush it. At this point, I think that this is why that lawyer is abandoning ship. There's no way to win this case at this point. And it's, you know, he didn't declassify it. Maggie Haberman, I mean, it sounds like he told her, which we got to talk about that a little bit. He told her, yeah, I brought all this stuff down here. Look at the juicy stuff. You know, it's kind of one of those things where I think he's in big trouble with this one. And whether he goes to jail, I don't know, but he clearly has got a big problem here.
With regard to the lawyer, if a lawyer cannot make a good faith presentation to a court,
yes,
the lawyer is to withdraw. The lawyer is to remove themselves. That's what happened with the new one. That's what happened with the older ones when they were asked, well, when did he declassify it? It's not even a matter of lying to a judge. It's just they don't have anything that they can use. And I expected my phone to blow up with you sending me a text last week when you heard that Trump sat down with Sean Hannity for multiple hours of interviews. And I didn't watch any of it, but I heard that there was one quote where Trump said, a president can declassify documents by simply thinking about it. And I thought, literally, I heard that, and my first reaction was, McNeil's head has fallen off his body and is rolling down the hallway because by thinking, now I understand his argument is, I'm the president, I have full authority to declassify it. But now the best argument is, well, I thought about doing it. So since it was in my head, I've done it.
Well, my point was at that point was that, well, okay, considering those documents never got declassified, what you're basically saying is you tried a mental contest with a piece of paper and you lost. So, you know, it's kind of...
Oh, no, he declared victory. See, that's the thing, he's declaring victory. Before, it was, I said verbally these are declassified and Kash Patel heard me and he's my witness. Okay, that was a little sketchy to begin with, but when the best argument that you can put when you're on national TV is, well, you could do it by thinking about it. Okay, yeah. Kreskin, that's great, but I don't really see how that, you're too young for Kreskin.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay, good.
Well, I'll bring up Maggie Haberman from the New York Times and this. Yeah. Where does the responsibility of a journalist to come forward with information? I mean, clearly there's a lot of people that are feeling that the information we've gotten about her book is stuff that as a journalist, you probably should have brought forward to the public a long time before your book.
This is the Bob Woodward issue. Same thing happened with Woodward during various administrations. He had reporting that he held for the book, did not put in the newspaper, did not put on social media. Maggie Haberman, now apparently his psychiatrist. I mean, this is what he said. He talks to her for therapy. Wow. Okay. You might screen your therapist a little more closely because usually the therapist should sort of at least be neutral, if not on your side. But again, there's no ethical responsibility except to her employer. Now, if I'm the New York Times, I'm going to want to know how come she cashed a check from somebody else and kept the good stuff out of the primary job, the paper.
No, and we're starting to hear more and more the fact that he referred to, you know, aides that were black as he thought they were waiters and servers. He was very, insultive to gay people and made sexuality a discussion point. And now I just saw the story. He apparently refused to use the toilet that Barack Obama used. And he said, and you know why,
cooties. Well, you know why.
I know why. We all know that's unfortunate. All right. We'll get to Jeff once again. The Iowa Politics Report, we'll post that a little bit later on. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week. Devil Radio for Wisconsin, Minnesota, hour two up next.